Father, we do thank you for the great joy of gathering like this. We thank you for the privilege of meeting around your word. We thank you, Lord, for the opportunity of seeing how your word will speak to us through the course of this year. And we pray, Lord, that as we spend some time in Colossians today, that, Father, you would speak to us, you would challenge us afresh, you would encourage us, you would spur us on. And so, Father, we commit our time to you now, in Jesus' name and for his glory. Amen. Well, I know it's hard to believe 2 weeks are nearly over, but it's a new year. Are you excited for the new year? Yes, please contain your enthusiasm. I don't want you to get overexcited, but it is a new year, isn't it? And I don't know about you, but there is something about a new year, new hopes, new dreams, new goals, new everything. I love seeing on social media all the articles on New Year's resolutions that come up just before New Year. And of course, the truth is, no matter what you think of New Year's resolutions, odds are you've probably broken them in the first week. Or is it just me? I read one article just before the New Year that said, don't consider doing resolutions. I like that. They suggest you'd rather do rules for life. Come up with new rules for life. I was honest and truthful and declared that whether you call it a resolution or a rule for life, I'll still break it in the first week. So I just did nothing and went fishing instead. But I guess if truth be told, it is actually a good time, isn't it? At the start of a year, to take some time just to ponder, to reflect, to think through the year ahead, to maybe assess where you want to be at the end of it. And I think it's important to do that specifically in our Christian walk. It's important to ask ourselves, what are some of our goals, our hopes, our dreams for our Christian walk this year? And not to start the year with guilt. Let me ask you if you've done that. I wonder if you've taken time in these first 2 weeks of the year to just think through how you will mature and grow this year in your relationship with Jesus. And if you've thought of the importance of that, if you've maybe thought of some goals possibly, have you put some steps in place already? Have you got some ideas of how you will achieve those goals to make them achievable and realistic? And just so you know, it's something we do as a leadership every year. We take time off at the end of the previous year. We think through what are some of the goals that we want for a church and how will we achieve them. And it's from that meeting usually that arrives our theme for the next year. And it's that theme that we're going to introduce this morning. And it's taken this year. I don't know if you can see it. The writing is very small, but at the bottom of the what do you call these things, Graham? Posters, standy thingies, whatchamacallits. At the bottom of them and at the bottom of the screen behind me, very small writing is Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. That's really going to be our theme verse through the course of the year. Let me read it for us. Be good if you could turn there in your Bibles. Our theme verse, Colossians 4, verses 2 and 3 today. Devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful. And pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ. Well, today I just really want to focus on that first verse that we read, verse 2. Devote yourselves to prayer. It's worth actually taking a moment to just ponder that word devote. It's a very important word in the text, and it's worth considering it for a moment. If I had to ask you to describe what devoted looks like, how would you describe it? What are the pictures you would think of? Maybe you would consider somebody devoted who gives their affections to something. Maybe you would consider someone devoted who applies their mind to something. Maybe you would call them devoted when you see how dedicated they are to something. See, for us, often we think of the word devoted in terms of a special commitment. Well, it's quite interesting if you go back to the original language and you see how it was used initially. The word devoted simply means to continue steadfastly. In fact, if you've got an ESV version in front of you, you'll see that's actually how they translate it. Continue steadfastly. To be devoted is to persevere without giving up. To be devoted is to press on rather than settle. But to be devoted is not to succumb to mediocrity in a particular behavior or attitude or action. To be devoted is to keep going, to keep growing. Think of our theme from last year. Do you remember our theme from last year? Close enough. Grow deep, love deep. That was our theme. And last year, that's what we did. We encouraged you to grow deep with God. We encouraged you to love deep with each other. And I certainly hope we did that. In some manner, in some measure, I hope that you were richer in your relationship with God at the end of last year than you were at the beginning. I hope you got to know people better through the course of the year here at TCC. I hope you were richer in relationship with them. But I guess if we think about last year's theme and apply the word devoted to it, well, the word devoted will mean for us this year that we're not to stop growing, that we're not to stop loving, that we're not to settle for what we've accomplished, but we are to continue steadfastly. We're to continue steadfastly in our growing, continue steadfastly in our loving. See, that word devoted turns deep into deeper. And that's why we've got deeper as part of the key word on our slides. We want to move in this year from being deep to being deeper, to grow deeper in our relationship with God, to grow deeper in our love for each other. I don't know if you picked it up. Do you know that advertisers, they do things subliminally? Is that the right word? They kind of play with your mind. Did you see I tried that on you this morning in the reading? Did you see it? No, some of you? Did some of you see it? Did you spot it? That there were certain words that were capital letters. See, when you go back to Colossians chapter 4 and you think through devoted, here's what he tells you. He says, you should be devoted in prayer. Devoted in prayer. We must steadfastly continue to pray. And the thing we must be praying for, according to Colossians 4, is we must pray continually that the word of God is proclaimed, that the mystery of Christ is proclaimed. You see, as we think of deeper today from Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 and 3, we want to think through pray and proclaim. And here it is in a nutshell. We want to, in 2019, steadfastly continue to speak to God about people and to speak to people about God. That's why you'll notice in the slides, it says pray and proclaim and people. Our goal for 2019 is to speak to God about people and to speak to people about God, to grow deeper in praying, in proclaiming. And so today we're going to look at just the first part of that. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. Come back with me to Colossians chapter 4. See, prayer in its simplest definition, means talking to God. I guess that's how we would often understand this word that is so familiar to us. We understand it as communication with God, speaking to Him, sharing our emotions and our desires before Him. Of course, as we'll see through the course of this year, prayer is much more than that. Prayer is about access to God. Prayer is about fellowship with God. Prayer is fundamentally relationship. Prayer is communication, but it's not just us speaking to God. It is indeed us listening to God as He speaks to us. And prayer is dependence. Prayer is submission. Prayer is discovering what God's will is and obeying it. Here's how one writer describes prayer. He says, prayer is the place where pride is abandoned, hope is lifted, and supplication is made. It's the place of admitting our need, adopting humility, and claiming dependence upon God. Prayer is the exercise of faith and hope, the needful practice of the Christian. I love the way it says that, the needful practice of the Christian. See, that's why the Bible says devote yourselves to it. It's a call, not just that you and I will pray occasionally. It's not just that we'll acknowledge prayer. No, it's that you and I will make prayer a standard feature in our daily life. That you and I will pray habitually. that you and I will pray with perseverance, that we will not give up or settle for non-prayer. Indeed, Jesus taught and showed his disciples, Luke 18, that they should always pray and not give up. Paul, later in the book of Thessalonians, reminds us in 1 Thessalonians 5 that believers should pray continually. See, friends, as we start the year, I want us to remember that we are called to steadfastly continue in prayer. But when you hear the preacher say that, it's a little bit like a new year, isn't it? So you hear him and you say, you should pray, and you immediately say, I will. But it's a little bit like a New Year's resolution, isn't it? By the end of the week, what have you discovered? That the duvet is winning again. That your resolution, your new rule for life, is short-lived. See, the truth is sometimes the call to prayer is easy. The act of prayer is jolly difficult. And I think if we're going to get that right, I don't think actually the starting place is to address your methodology of prayer. I don't actually think it's about that at all. I think if we're going to have a go at praying well this year, it will start with us getting our theology right. Theology is what's going to encourage us to keep on praying. Did you notice, come back to verse 2? Did you notice that Paul offers two caveats when he says, devote yourselves to prayer? He goes on to say, being watchful and thankful. I think there are two theological truths there that will shape our praying. The first is that you and I must remember that our prayers should flow from the cross. They should flow from the cross. I take it that's what he means when he says thankful. See, prayer is actually a response of gratitude. It's an expression of gratitude for all that we've already received in and through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. See, prayer is one of the ways that we recognize that the cross has fundamentally changed who we are. It's changed our identity. It's changed our status. You and I, who were once far off, well, we've been brought near. We've been forgiven. Those of us who were once aliens and strangers, well, we've been adopted into the family. We've been made sons. See, when we remember that, when we remember what God did for us through the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, our hearts should be overflowing with thankfulness. We should not be able to contain ourselves. I do wonder sometimes if, even as Christians, especially Christians in the West, I wonder if we don't think of the cross enough. I sometimes think we've moved away from the cross, haven't we? See, the truth is the cross should loom large in our lives. There should never be a time for us as Christians where we are outside of the shadow of the cross. Never a time. The cross must be central to who we are, to what we are, to how we live. And when we're standing in the shadow of the cross, our hearts should well up with gratitude and thankfulness. A thankfulness that will drive us to the one who did this for us. A thankfulness that will cause us to pursue him, to engage him. A gratitude that will force us to enter his presence and fellowship with him. A thankfulness that will seek him and speak to him and share with him and submit to him. See, friends, being thankful is the ultimate stimulus to pray. We pray because we are thankful for what God has done for us in the cross. And indeed, it's that same thankfulness that will guard our prayers, that will guard them from being selfish pleading for our own desires, to being expressions of gratitude, expressions of praise for all that we've received. See, our prayers must flow from the cross. We must devote ourselves to prayer being thankful. But as they flow from the cross, so they must flow towards the coming. Towards the coming. I take it that's what he means when he says being watchful. See, when we pray, we're remembering that things aren't finished. They're not over yet. Oh, we know the cross has secured our victory. We know that, don't we? But we await its consummation. We do not and have not received the full glory of the victory yet. We are waiting for something else. We are waiting for our Lord Jesus to return. We are waiting for his coming. And so we are to be watchful for it. A watchful is not you and me standing outside with our sunglasses on, checking up to the sky. It's not us staring at the clouds. I mean, Acts chapter 1 tells us that, doesn't it? Remember when Jesus ascends to heaven and the disciples are sitting, staring, watching, and the messengers from God come back and say, hey, what are you doing? Why are you staring into the clouds? Didn't he give you a job? Go do it. So we know that being watchful is not us standing outside sun gazing. No, being watchful is watching our own life, watching our own conduct in the sure and certain hope of his return. Christians expect Jesus to come. Christians anticipate that Jesus is coming. And Christians live for that coming today. And while we wait, we are dependent on him for everything. We are dependent on God for life and for breath, for health and for strength, for daily bread, for sanctification, and for our perseverance to the end. And how do we show that dependence? We show it on our knees when we pray. Prayer reflects dependence while we wait. Douglas Moo, in his section on this passage, writes, a strong sense of expectation about Christ's near return governs and motivates prayer. See, if you know it's not yet over, well, then what will you do? You'll wait for it. And if you'll know that we're not there yet, then you'll know that we are dependent on him to sustain us until that day. And when you know that you're dependent on him, here's what you'll do. You will throw yourselves upon him, calling out for his goodness and his mercy in prayer. We will devote ourselves to prayer. See, in humility and dependence, we'll ask God for our daily bread. In humility and dependence, we'll ask God to keep us from temptation. In humility and dependence, we'll ask God to deliver us from evil, to forgive us our sins, to help us pursue righteousness until he returns. We will be people of daily prayer. Friends, you and I live between the cross of Jesus and the coming of Jesus. And when we recognize that, we will realize that we go forward on our knees in prayer. Which is why for 2019, one of the goals for us as pastors and church leaders is to help you devote yourself to prayer. We want to help you to do that. We want to, through the course of this year, give a clarity about prayer. We want to develop your thinking and your theology. And we want to do that so that you will pray. And so a little bit later in the year, we'll have a sermon series and some Connect group studies on prayer. Through the course of the year, we'll promote one or two books. One of them, the Key Book, is a book on prayer. I think it's probably the book on prayer that had the most impact on me in my Christian walk. Denzel was away when we were making some of these decisions. He didn't know this, but he happened to read the book while he was in Malawi last year. And when he returned, he shared and he held up the book. And he said, this book, I just read it. I don't know why it took me so long to read it. I just read it, and it had the most powerful impact on me. Well, that's the book we're going to encourage you to read. So maybe one of your goals this year should be, I will buy a Christian book that the pastor recommends, and I will read it. I will read it. That's the real goal. The real goal is not buying the book. The real goal is reading it. We want to help you to develop a confidence in praying. And the truth is, the best way to develop confidence, well, that's to have opportunities. We want to give you more opportunities to pray. We want to give you more opportunities for prayer in your life and in our life as a church. We're going to, in a few weeks' time, introduce a group here on Sunday services who will pray with you after the service. You know, sometimes we come to church Sunday upon Sunday and we carry heavy burdens. We carry difficulties with us. And we think it would be great if as a family of God, before you left here, someone would pray with you. They don't need the details. It's not a counseling session. But there'll be a time and a place after the service where you can meet with a couple of people and one person, they'll sit with you and they'll just pray for you. And we think that's important. We're going to create, as you heard from Graham earlier, a Tuesday prayer meeting. Just another opportunity. Now, some of you immediately saying to me, that doesn't work for me. We know. We know that. Tuesday at 7 will not work for everybody. We get that. The truth is, there will never be a time that's going to work for everybody. But it'll work for some people. And so we've made the decision, let's try Tuesday at 7. Let's see what happens. We've planned a couple of other special prayer days. And of course, we start every quarter as a church. We start off with a central prayer meeting. Can I encourage this year to commit to come to the central prayer meeting? I know for some of us that sounds scary. It sounds intimidating. What if they make me do something I don't want to do? Oh, it's a bit uncomfortable. Can I put my best smile on my face? Can I lovingly look you in the eyes and just say, just come. Just come. Be done with excuses. Be done with busyness. Just come. Come on the Wednesday evening. Come on the Thursday morning. Just come and be with God's people as we pray. Even if you keep quiet, just come and pray. That's how you will develop confidence in your praying. And of course, we want to help you develop a commitment to praying. And so we're going to provide you with various tools and helps along the way. And Graham will share about those in just a moment. Friends, here's our challenge for 2019. We want you to go deeper in your relationship with God as you devote yourselves to prayer. We want you this year to learn how to effectively speak to God about people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you so much for the hope of his impending return. And we pray, Lord, that in light of both the cross and his coming back, we pray, Lord, that we will be men and women of prayer. And so we ask, Lord, that this year you would help us to individually and be a church who are devoted to prayer. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.